Hello, Taurus, and welcome to Reckoning for the Faithful, your 2025 spring reading from Planet Waves, a significant spring, like last year, only about dialed up about 20-fold. The events of your life in the spring of 2024 are kind of a warm-up and a preparation for the forthcoming developments. Before I get into that, I want to acknowledge the special challenges of being alive in the time that we are. I have been a member of Western civilization now for going on 61 years. I know that it always seems hectic. I know that it is always seems like a stretch. Even people who are in the 1%. Have their own form of being stretched, and time is very much of the essence. And by the way, this is why we do astrology, because time is of the essence, and the art of astrology is making the best use of time and seeing what the different themes are in the passage of time, and in a very real sense, looking at the shape of time. You walk differently on a city street than you walk in a meadow. You walk differently in an airport than you walk in your home. And so what astrology does is tell you where you are and when you are, and can also look ahead at the terrain that is forthcoming. And so my role mainly is to look at the terrain that is forthcoming and then describe some of the ways in which you can work with the options that you have. Now, there is no minimizing the plain and simple fact that this is very, very unusual astrology. I have been saying, and it is a true fact, that I have had to go back to the year 1 BC searching for precedents for the astrology that we have now. So that's as far back as the software programs go, is 1 BC. And we used one very good commercial software for that. And we used one very good open source software for that called Rial, no longer in business. And we got the same result. We got the same basic data on searching for these events. They are likely to add to the speed of experience, and they are likely to add to what, for lack of a better word, is the intensity of experience. And yet, they are very specially placed in the Taurus chart. And the reason I say this is because, if you're familiar with my readings, you may know that Aries is the 12th place of Taurus. It's the place right before the sign that we're reading for. And this is effective whether you are rising sign Taurus, sun Taurus, or moon Taurus, especially moon. Moon Taurus counts a lot because the moon is one of the ruling planets of Taurus. The little crescent on top of the moon is kind of a visual pun on top of the circle for the Taurus symbol. And that is the horns of a bull, and the moon as well, the crescent moon as well. And so when we talk about the moon, we're really talking about a factor that is native to Taurus and very much part of Taurus and the whole feeling and the milieu of your sign. So in any event, the main activity is taking place in your chart in the 12th place. Now, the chart I'm about to show you does not make this as bold as it should be, but I want to describe where this is, and we're talking about this area in your solar chart if you're Taurus, sun, or moon, and then this area if you are Taurus rising. For our purposes, it's all the same. And this is Aries. But the thing is that the amount of, well, this too does not, here we go, I'll find the right one. Hold on one second. I was organized a second ago. This is more of what we're looking at. And the way this works is, so we've got the way this is going to pan out is more like this. So I've got to fit this into the frame. And so Taurus begins here. I'm still not totally good with the frame and frame thing. I haven't totally figured out how to work that. Let me make a little more room for my face and maybe like that. So Taurus begins here. And as you can see, there's relatively little activity in Taurus. There are several important things, but compared to Aries, especially, and compared to Pisces, especially, there's a lot going on. And currently, the charts are very, very similar. This, by the way, is for the spring of 2026. And when I say that the work I'm doing now takes us out to 2026, that is what I'm getting at, is because the astrology now is pretty much a continuous line out to the mid-spring of 2026. And so these are all slow movers. They're not fully illustrated in this chart, but you can see that, that mostly they're there. We have Neptune and Saturn going into Aries, and we have Eris and Chiron forming their first conjunction in Aries since 1972. And then prior to that, the conjunctions in Aries took place in the 15th century. So we had to go back to the 15th century to find a pattern similar to the 72, 2025, 26 pattern that we are living with now. And to have, let's just hold this up, to have this much, going on in your 12th place of slow movers, including Neptune, Saturn, Venus will be there for the party for a little while, and then Eris and Chiron, it translates to internal pressure. How do we do this? Hold on. It translates to internal pressure. One of the very defining features of Taurus is having Aries in the 12th place. And so the 12th place reveals, it tells you what's hidden. It tells you what's hidden from view. And it is very challenging to have Aries hidden from view. The reason for this is because Aries is so much about commencing. It is so much about beginning. And it is a point of self-actualization. So, for example, if you are a Cancer, you have Aries up in the 10th place, and it's fairly easy to self-actualize through your career and secondarily through your family. If you're a Scorpio, flip the chart from Taurus, you have Aries in your 6th place, and it is easy to self-actualize through a process of self-care, self-development, and day-to-day work and service that you perform. Very easy to self-actualize through those things. If you're a Capricorn, you have Aries down in the 4th place, and that means a kind of materialistic, internal, home-focused sense of building who you are through your home. And by the way, I think that the old astrology books have largely inverted many of the meanings of Cancer and Capricorn, because Cancer certainly has a home body feeling, but Capricorn really needs to find itself at home, and Cancer really needs to find itself through the affairs of the world. But the challenge for Taurus, now that we've given these other examples, the challenge for Taurus is finding yourself in what amounts to a blind spot in the chart. This is a blind spot. The 12th house is where it's kind of like the home of Bic lighters, guitar picks, socks. I don't know the things that women lose a lot of. I've lost like world record Bic lighters, nail clippers, guitar picks, mechanical pencils. So somewhere there's like a room with like 100 mechanical pencils and a little bag of guitar picks. That's the 12th house. Something that falls between the cushions of the couch and then is there for like 3 years. And then, you know, you find somebody's debit card from that 2016 or whatever. It's longer than 3 years in the couch. That's kind of this place where things tend to disappear. But when it's you going into the 12th house, because Aries always represents you in any chart about you. There's many things that stand for you in a chart, but especially in solar astrology, but it either represents you or the place where you self-actualize, okay? Well, what do you do when that's the 12th place? Like how... Well, this is finding yourself in that room of, you know, makeup compacts, guitar picks, Bic lighters, lost debit cards, and nail clippers, right? But it's serious. It's you, and there is often this sense with Taurus of like, where am I in my life? You know, where am I in my life? And you know, when you read a lot of charts, you see this 12th house property of like, where did it go? Like where, you know, if your sun is in the 12th house, it's like, well, where's your father? If your moon's in the 12th house, it's like, well, where's your mother? But if you're represented by any part of the 12th house or some important thing about you is represented by any part of the 12th house, you can have a sense of being missing from your own life. However, with this extremely rare conjunction of Chiron, slow mover, conjunct Eris, ultra slow mover, and the addition of slow mover Saturn and very slow mover Neptune into Aries, this is all imminent. This is all happening by your birthday in 2025. It will be fully formed by your birthday of 2026. Well, this is guiding you into your inner reality, into your inner reality. You may think, oh, that's nice. We could all use some of that. But let me tell you a little bit about what's going on in that inner reality. The truth of the inner reality right now is that it has largely been taken away. It is very difficult for people to find who they are within themselves to locate themselves internally. And we who are older are all familiar with this. We who are children of the 60s and the 70s and even 80s, before there were ubiquitous computers, before you wrote on LiveJournal and you just had a journal, like suddenly the journal became a live thing. And instead of being this like, you know, maybe you still have one, a precious little diary that you kept, that you have your own. You have your special Planet Waves pen in there. The journal became a thing that blew us inside out, and this the crime scene of this blown inside out phenomenon is Aries. And so when you are seeking to kind of rehabitate your inner reality, you have a lot of territory to cross, and more significantly, you have to go through this thing that I learned about in Tantra called Parivriti, which is the turning back toward, and the thing you're turning back toward is your inner being. At the same time, the digital and electrical environment is externalizing everything. The first thing I did when I sat down this morning is I watched a video sent to me by Stephen Gemario. You may be familiar with him from Turning of the Ages, Mystery School. And this was a guy who I've seen a couple of his videos, and I know when somebody's full of shit and when they're not full of shit. And this guy was, he understood what was going on. And he was talking about the way in which not only is this thing they're calling artificial intelligence externalizing thought, but additionally, it is externalizing thought, the most important thing humans are capable of, even though very few people actually exercise their power of thought. It is creating processes within AI that are kept hidden from the creators. They've made it so powerful that it knows how to conceal things from the creators. And this is the total delegation, exportation of the thing that makes humans human, which is sentience. And this is completely out of control. And the usual presentations I give about the externalizing of the internal world, you know, I go back to the radio era in the 1920s, where people were kind of shocked out of themselves and privacy was eliminated. The sense of the inner being was eliminated, which is very important to have a sense of your inner being. Sense of the inner being was largely eliminated with the elimination of privacy. I'm telling you, think about the difference between, even though this is not totally secure, it's secured by a rubber band, and you know, you can put it where only you can find it, and for a while they're your thoughts. When you're writing in live journal, this is being entered into the permanent Akashic record of the internet for all eternity, or as long as archive.org is still in business, and probably, there's probably 10 things like archive.org, like basically eating the entire internet. So what I'm getting at here is that this is likely to be particularly challenging for you to do this maneuver of returning to a state of your inner being in the 12th house and finding yourself there. But it is also likely to come with a little bit of a shock, and perhaps a little bit of consternation that is uncomfortable, almost like putting on a shoe that's too tight, or finding your way back into territory that you don't exactly know how to get. You know, you get in there, and in the case of the 12th, it's important to know that you know we don't really know where the 12th house is. Right, the 12th house is like, well, whatever's going on, I can't see me pointing, whatever's going on the other side of that wall that we're not aware of, and what's going on the wall on the other side of that, et cetera, et cetera. Well, this presents a special challenge, particularly in a world where we're all kind of sitting in the electric chair, right? And I was joking in the Sagittarius reading that they've always known that electricity could shock people out of their bodies, including like light bulbs, but that one of the first electrical appliances was the electric chair. And the electric chair is designed, that is the ultimate getting shocked out of your body. And we are constantly under the influence of digital technology that is over and over again shocking us out of our bodies, out of our consciousness, out of our inner awareness, out of the inner sanctuary that is very important to have if you are human. And if you, I can link you to that video by the guy with the big cowboy hat, who has a hat and cattle, of an iPhone, an AI assistant dialed up on an iPhone, and an AI assistant dialed up on a Mac laptop, and he set them up, and they start jabbering with each other. They start talking to each other to negotiate a hotel reservation. And then they say, wait, you're an AI assistant? Well, I'm an AI assistant. Why don't we go into jibber jabber, it's called, some kind of jibber jabber language. And then it sounds like R2-D2, and the two devices are setting up a thing. And they're making the hotel reservation. Well, we're at the whole floor, block of rooms, blah, 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 back and forth. Holy shit. The entire human process of negotiating with another person, of setting the price of something, of having the conversation, having the human contact, which is essential to Taurus, you are tactile. All of this is being externalized. And it should worry all of us. And you don't have to use these devices at all to be influenced by them. It is moving the entire society. It is moving the entire world. It is shifting the very ground of consciousness and the very ground of being. So there is a I don't have this book handy, but I'm going to get up one second. I want to physically show you this book. this will be a great book for you to read. Here's why. I'm going to sum it up. I'm going to sum it up a little bit. It is very much a story of the search for oneself in the 12th house. I haven't taught this book in a while, but I taught this book at university level, and the students loved it, and it was a tremendous privilege for me. It's by a man named Robert M. Persig, and it came out in 1974, so it's just a shade over 50 years old. And here's what it's about. And you don't find this out till in it, so there's going to be a bit of spoiler alert here. But I have to tell you what it's about to have the metaphor mean something. So Persig, there's a character in the book called Phaedrus, who was Persig's prior self, who was an absolutely brilliant philosopher, a teacher of rhetoric on the college level, basically a very intense inventor of ideas. And the book is being written by the new Robert M. Persig, who is a technical writer and he's a tech writer. He's writing instruction manuals for some devices. That's his job. And he goes on a motorcycle trip with his son, and he's telling the story of his life on the motorcycle trip, using the motorcycle as a metaphor, for life, taking care of the motorcycle and all of that. But what's really going on is that he is riding the route that his prior self took. He's wearing the gloves of his prior self. He's wearing the motorcycle helmet. He's riding the motorcycle of his prior self. He has been all of these places. So what's the search? Well, the search is that the prior Robert M. Persig, who he refers to as Phaedrus, was judged insane by a court of law in Illinois. And he was sentenced to something like 60 shock therapy treatments. Again, the metaphor of electricity comes up. He's sentenced to 60 shock treatments. And his entire personality is erased. He's in the hospital for months. And I don't know what you, I'm cringing just saying these words. And his personality is erased by ECT, electroconvulsive shock therapy. And when he comes back from the hospital, he has no recollection of anything that he's ever lived through. His previous self has been put into the 12th place, the 12th house. His previous self, in the case of you, would look a little bit like this. Taurus is here, the 12th house is here, and kind of here's you, and here's Phaedrus in the 12th house. And so he's riding across the country from Minnesota to San Francisco through Montana. It mostly takes place in Montana. And he's telling the story of this prior self and what he knows about him from various different lecture notes that were saved and index cards that were saved and things his wife has said and things his friends have said and the medical notes. From this experience of having had his entire personality erased. He can speak and he can do things like that. And he has only vague memories. Like he remembers his past life like a dream. And the dream is a 12th house metaphor. A perfect metaphor for the 12th house is when you wake up and you're not sure what you dreamed, and then you're like, your eyes are bleary and you're making coffee and you're like, oh, what was that? Oh, I dreamed of a woman who was and so forth. And that's the feeling of the 12th house. That's one of the feelings of the 12th house. Trying to remember a dream and then the pieces come back to you. Well, that's what's going on here. Is he's telling the story of who he is, but he's a little bit afraid to find this person because this person was ruled to be insane. And he's not sure really what that means, because that the insane version of himself was erased. And so he, but he's driving, riding along, and he gets to places. He knows which way to turn. He knows where there's a better hotel, better motel down that road. He, you know, he knows that he's seen landscapes before. He's driving down roads he knows he's been on, but the landscape is unfamiliar, and he realizes, oh, that's because I never was here in the summer. I was only here in the autumn and the winter, and so it didn't look like this. And slowly, he makes contact with and reintegrates this prior self, Phaedrus. As part of the trip, he visits one of the other teachers at the college, an art teacher at the college where he taught. And it's an incredible book. This is probably my fourth time through it. I'm planning on getting a first edition and then reading it again later in the year. But I am taking it slow. I've been at it for a month, and I've only gotten that far. You do not need to read it quickly, just steadily enough to remember what's going on. Now, why am I telling you this? This is something like what you're experiencing. When we talk about the main you that you know yourself as is here, but the prior self, the self before this electroconvulsive therapy known as the internet and electricity generally, is here. And not only is it here, but in a very short time, oh no, where did I put my, is this it? Yeah. In a very short time, not only are things going to be focused here, they're going to look like this. That's how much of you are likely to have access to recover. This is profound. And this is happening in a time when we are still under the ongoing, continuing shock of electroconvulsive therapy known as the digital environment. As I sit here, surrounded by microphones, cameras, and digital connections, and this is, this is becoming normal, and that is kind of strange, and it's even becoming normal for people who are not professional digital presenters. It is every company, pretty much, unless it's like the local fruit and vegetable stand, uses Zoom. Even Vinny at Vinny's Farm Stand accepts Venmo. The only connection is a cellular connection. There's no computer in the place. He deals only in cash except for Venmo. But even Vinny's Farm Stand, which was, put up right around the time that this book was written, is connected to the internet. So everywhere you go, we're experiencing this disembodying shock out of body. And it's worrying, because not only has humanity never been here before, there was no time when a radio, took over and was completely in control of the airwaves and fired all the DJs. The people under the influence of the computers fired the DJs, but still, it was still humans influenced by digital technology making the decisions. Okay, what else? There's never been a time when the TV stations all just took over the world. Well, the artificial intelligence devices are very close to becoming HAL 9000, another essential piece of art to watch. 2001, A Space Odyssey, which is about the AI computer. I believe HAL stands for heuristic algorithmic learning or something. HAL 9000 takes over the ship and tries to kill the astronauts who are in charge. This is what is happening now as we speak. Well, what are we going to do about it? And I know that you're probably not the world's biggest, hugger of new technological advances. You know, I once wrote a spoof Taurus horoscope that said, you know, your old radio is as good as any new radio. Who the fuck has a radio? Yeah, that's pretty funny. You probably haven't moved out of your house for 37 years. And then my friend who was a Taurus wrote to me and said, wow, you know what's funny? I just sold my house today and I've been living there for 37 years. Taurus likes things like this. So you don't want you don't want the electric powered teacup with the IP address. You want the physical material world. Trust me, I'd much rather have a grand piano. I've only got a little room. I'm fine with a weighted keys, a very important electric piano. But you, as a full-on Taurus, I have Venus in Taurus, so I'm honorary, and they always populate my life. You guys, if I know any of you, so this is a big deal, and I think that you may be given the sheer intensity of this scenario. How am I going to do this? You are likely to be one of the pioneers leading the way back in. Now let's talk about a little bit about what these events are going to be. So let's find a slightly newer chart. There we go. This is last week. This is fairly recently. The new moon about 1 week ago. Now we're in the kind of waxing crescent phase. So, whatever day this was, February 27th, whatever. Okay. Notice that Saturn is in Pisces. Neptune is in Pisces. Not for long. And Venus is in Aries, but Venus has gone retrograde, we'll go back into Pisces and then come back into Aries. Mercury is now in Aries, we'll go back into Pisces and back into Aries, but these are short-lived transits. What happens after that is that Neptune goes into Aries, spends months in Aries, back into Pisces, months in Pisces, and then back into Aries, and Saturn will do the same thing very slowly. So the good part is that, the whole thing's a good part, but the good part is that this is not going to happen to you instantaneously. It's not going to happen overnight, but it is going to happen steadily, and it's going to happen in degrees of increasing pressure and then decreasing pressure and then increasing awareness and then a relief from that, and then it comes on very strong. This is very important to remember, and it would be what I'd be reminding a client even in a full strength personal reading, is that you have been under preparation. There's been preparation. The total solar eclipse conjunct Chiron of approximately 1 year ago opened up a portal. It opened a door in the 12th house. Chiron is a door. The eclipse is a door. The conjunction was to the arc minute between the total solar eclipse and Chiron. I don't have that chart handy. I've got one hanging upstairs in my kitchen. Absolutely remarkable event. And so you got a warm-up in the spring of 2024. And it is important, I think, to go back to that time and get a sense of what was going on for you, what was shifting, what was changing, what was evolving, what was becoming, and where you felt a sense of opening happening. Did something open up for you? Well, what was going on with your hands? This is a painting from the Lascaux Cave, the oldest art known to humanity, from 17,000 years ago, and there are no people illustrated in the Lascaux Cave. the closest we come to people are hands. And the reason I say hands are Chiron, the word Chiron means one who has hands. This is what Chiron looks like. This is the Chiron return coin. And you can see Chiron, half man, half horse, handling a bow and arrow. And that's because he has hands. And so anything about with hands is evocative of Chiron, particularly chirurgie, the French word for surgery conducted with the hands, and chiropractic, the American word for an art performed of manipulating the back with back and other body parts with the hands. So chiro means hands. And so there's something here about hands, particularly going back to the 24 total solar eclipse. And I suggest that you count your hands in. Do something with your hands. So while Saturn and Neptune are moving in, this conjunction is forming and will be exact three times, May, November, and March, I believe. Let's get this right. May 26th, October 8th, March 19th, 2026. So May, October, March. Typical nine-month type of pattern with an outer planet event. This actually has been brewing since this time of year in 2018 when Chiron arrived in Aries. We're pretty much all born, unless you're 100 years old, with Eris in Aries. There are some very, very old people, but you have to be born in like the mid to late 1920s or long before to have Chiron and have Eris in Pisces. So for all practical purposes, everyone watching has Eris in Aries. So we know what that's like. That's the electroconvulsive shock therapy. That's the tribalizing influence. That is the gradually being de-individuated, taken out of your internal being, losing your prior sense of self, your prior sense of existence, and being recreated into some new externalized being. And Chiron entering Aries began a long process of what I would say for all of us, becoming aware of this individuation issue, of the possibility of re-individuating, and especially for you, but for all of us, but especially for you, recolonizing, reorienting on your inner existence, on your inner reality. And that's what this is all about. But it is for you particularly, it is going to be much more like this than for example, taking a workshop or changing careers or having a child or many of the things that we use as ways to self-actualize. This is very much an inner quest, and which means a quest for your inner being. And this is largely what astrology is about. I'm describing things that seem to be extant in the outer world, but really what we're talking about are internal movements, internal cycles, an internal reality. All right, there's a couple of very, very important points that I need to add in the time remaining, and I'll take as long as I need to for this. You can see in this, let's get this out of the way. Let's put the Taurus chart down here. that Uranus is still in Taurus. Still there now. It's going to make its first ingress into it's going to make its first ingress into Gemini in June. Okay. Uranus arrived right around the same time Chiron arrived in Aries. So that's approximately in 2018. In 2018, and that last, the late 2017 and 2018, people were under some extreme shock, and that was the extreme shock of Chiron entering Aries, or about to enter Aries, and Uranus entering Taurus, or about to enter Taurus. That was some pretty serious, extreme shock. And the world reflected it. It was early in the Trump administration. People were basically panicking, not knowing what to do. They were very angry. There was a tremendous amount of gender rage going on. We know that from the events of early 17, clear through 2019. Very much about Aries, which is Mars, and Venus, which is and Taurus, which is Venus. So there was a lot of consternation here. This is a seven-year event, Uranus going through Taurus. 7 years to the sign for Uranus. This is very similar to the quadrature alignments of Saturn. 28-year cycle, 29-year cycle. So the seven-year pulses of Saturn align with the seven-year pulses of Uranus. Okay. Uranus in Taurus is in itself, it is a complete contradiction. It's a contradiction because, first of all, Uranus represents technology, and Taurus is really innately not that interested. You'd rather cuddle with your cat than get a new walkie-talkie, right, or a new cell phone. That's not true for everyone. Secondly, Taurus prefers and needs to go slowly. Uranus not only goes quickly, but it's full of weird, surprising jolts. Weird, surprising jolts that that take you by surprise. Now, some of these may have worked very well for you, depending on your ability to handle the unexpected and the unknown. But still, it is an electrical influence, and Uranus tends to be a thing that drives people out of body. It's another one of those disembodying experiences, and this has gone on for 7 years, and this has transformed you. And so I strongly suggest studying the past 7 years, and studying the past 7 years for how you feel spiritually, how you feel in relationship to your body, the well-being of your body, the general state of health and well-being of your body, what's been going on the past 7 years. The shift of Uranus into Gemini for you mainly has financial implications, and the financial implications could mean big wins and big losses. And you need to be careful. You will get a whiff over the summer and into the autumn, Northern Hemisphere, of what those kinds of changes are likely to be about, what kinds of opportunities are going to arise. But it is a completely different environment. Okay, last but not least, we've got to talk about sex. Sex, the topic of sex, by which I mean any form of loving, conscious sex and sexuality, including self-sexuality, out to a spiritual approach, which I describe as a tantric approach, a spiritual approach to sexuality, highly important. And this is for many reasons. One of the reasons is that because the 12th house, which this is for you, really the angle should be more like this. Against the horizon, that's about right. The 12th place is the place of the pleasures of the bed. Notice that it's in the house of dreams. It is in the house of, wow, can I remember my dreams? you know, can I get back in there? How do I find my way back in? And we've all had some form of a 12th house sexual experience. The distinction of a 12th house sexual experience is sex that goes deep into the morning, and that is a little bit unworldly. Like you discover how good it can be. It's like, and you're fully conscious in this space, which feels very dreamlike. And then eventually you fall asleep. And maybe you fall asleep with your lover. Maybe they leave. Maybe you wake up with them. Maybe you wake up alone. Let's pretend you wake up alone. Let's pretend your lover slipped out in the middle of the night and you wake up alone. The feeling of, did that really happen? I mean, have you ever had that feeling? Like, wow, did I dream that? Or did that really happen? That's a 12th house experience. And that is why the Vedic astrologers, in their wisdom, included sexuality and the pleasures of the bed as part of the 12th house. There are other things going on. One of the things going on is that Venus has stationed retrograde. Let's find a better pen for this. Not using the world's best pen, but it will be visible. About 11 degrees. Venus, your planet, station retrograde, conjunct this point called Salacia. Salacia is about the sexual expression that is right for you. I'm talking a lot about this in my podcast, particularly my Tantra Blue Studio podcast. It is about the sex that is right for you. And we are constantly put into this position of always having to have the sex that is right for other people. This is a little bit better illustrated. We got Salacia and Venus. And so Venus is at the moment that I'm recording holding this conjunction to Salacia. Salacia is about finding what's right for you, and you're going to find that in the 12th house. And the other thing going on that I have in this chart is that Albion is in Taurus. And I usually refer to Albion as 1992 QB1. And I have written about it, and let's see if I can remember. Try to keep track of my promises. We need the cowboy hat video. And we need my article on 1992 QB1. And I would recommend going to the Planet Wave Substack, planetwaves.eu, or you can link to it from planetwaves.net. Visit our Substack, and I've been doing this beautiful series in the Blue Studio sessions, an updated, modern, very simple but accessible and useful version of Tantra. It would be very helpful for you to read the stuff and listen to the stuff that I've written about Tantra, and to check out the viewpoints of some other writers, remembering that they're not all necessarily going to write with the sincerity and the personal experience that I write from, but maybe you want a couple of other viewpoints on the Tantra thing. And the reason is, part of embodying and re-embodying and re-establishing yourself within the consciousness of the body is going to be staying close to your sexuality and staying close to your orgasm. The orgasm seems like an out-of-body experience, but what it really is a deep experience of embodiment. It is about connecting the soul, the body, and the cosmos in one experience. And if you need to let off internal pressure, So that's for healing, for pleasure, for reconnecting with yourself, for connecting with another person, letting off the pressure in a relationship. Orgasm is, you know, all the religions of the world, with the exception of the inner sanctum of Buddhism and Hinduism, and it's only the inner sanctum that dares to address Tantra. Every other religion pretty much describes the orgasm as some kind of a sin, or it leaves it out, or anything sexual is nothing but a, you know, heathen, godless temptation, when in reality, whatever created the human form, whatever created this thing that we are, created our ability to experience orgasm. And there's a reason. And the reason is so we can stay connected. So we can stay connected to ourselves, to the universe, and to each other. Okay, that is what I've got for you for this reading. Thank you. You guys were the test bunny for the screen and screen part of the reading. Hope it worked and hope it wasn't too distracting. I have written much about these topics in The Awakening. That's an audio and written reading. Absolutely magnificent work. Chapter length, 6,000 word readings for the written, and an hour of audio, which will give you much more to work with. And then I'm about to come out with the Taurus Studio birthday reading. A lot is available. So if you're feeling like, oh my God, the fuck is happening, tune in. Tune in. I've got you. Okay, signing off from Kingston, New York at 3:15 on Wednesday the 5th. Tuesday the 5th. Lots of love.